Hello, everyone. Thank you for letting me spend some time with you today. I do appreciate it. If you happen to be listening to the audio only, do everyone a favor, check out the video. It's, you get to see me, basically. But, do the like, share, subscribe things, all those good things. It just helps us, helps people find us easier, just like you did. I'm going to get right into this today because I've got a lot of ground to cover. If you're a regular listener, you have heard me express my opinion about artificial intelligence, and you know that I consider it nothing more than a very, very fast, complete search engine, and it's capable of giving results that are much more than just a list of websites for you to visit, right? It will actually answer questions and give you some direction, depending on what you answer it. Now, I've played with a couple of the platforms of AI, and I do find that Grok formulates the results in a much more systematic way than the others do. And that's why I typically use Grok when I go to it. And I don't do much with it unless I think of a good question. Okay. As was the case when I was wondering if Grok was capable of doing something. So I had a thought, and well, let me just get into this and you'll see where I'm going. Okay. A serious Bible study should attempt to get to the original context of what the writers intended, right? Without that original context, we're left with nothing more than a guess, whether it's an interpretation, even using hermeneutics, you basically have a guess about what was written. And with that in mind, I asked Grok if it was capable of searching the Old Testament in the original Hebrew and understanding it in the context of what the original writers were addressing, and the way the people who were reading it for the very first time would have understood what was written. Grok gave me a long answer, but basically he said, yes, he had that capability, or it had that capability. So I asked Grok if doing this would allow us to get to the original as close as possible. It said yes. So I asked Grok if he was able to review the New Testament, including any Hebrew manuscripts that may exist, but exclude anything that is known to have been added after the original writers died, and anything that we cannot directly attribute to the original writers. Now, we know that there are things that were added, especially to the New Testament, later, much later, some as late as the 12th century. And Grok again said, yes, it could do that. Okay. Now, I'm going to say that I have used this approach long before AI existed. I would find and dig through the oldest manuscripts I could find that were available to me, typically online. Some people had them in other formats, but they were able to send me digitized copies. So I've been trying to get to the original for a very long time. But I thought, if I can use Grok to analyze some things and he has this capability, why not try it, right? We want to get to the original definitions, the original meaning, the original context of what was written. And now with AI, we have the ability to set these parameters for the search that I wanted to do. And that's what I did, was I set these parameters up with Grok. The search parameters would be the Old Testament directly from the Hebrew in the context of the original writer and reader, the New Testament either in Hebrew or Greek, excluding anything that could not be directly attributed to the original writer. And that means anything that's in the margins of the manuscripts that say, you know, this was added, this might not be part of the original writing. Those notes are there. Those notes are in there. I've seen them. Now, I was far more specific with these parameters than what I'm saying here, just for the sake of time. I drilled this down as close to the original as possible. So with those parameters set, I asked Grok to search through the writing of Charles Spurgeon for any contradictions to the biblical parameters that we had established. The result Grok came back with was no significant contradictions found, which means there were insignificant contradictions in Spurgeon's work. And I've covered some of those in previous podcasts because I found them as well. I asked Grok to do the same for Moody and Schofield and Darby. Moody had fewer contradictions than Darby or Schofield. However, Grok did find what it considers significant contradiction in Schofield and Darby's writing, while only insignificant contradictions in Moody's work. I had Grok search for John through John Wesley's writing. And again, it found no significant contradictions, although the reason Wesley's writings didn't have the same type of contradictions is because Wesley wasn't trying to offer any kind of interpretation. He was more focused on evangelism. He took a different path, so to speak. Now, the reason for the contradictions among some of these Christian writers is due to them relying on later Latin manuscripts like the Textus Receptus, the extended Gospel of Mark, a heavy reliance among some based on the King James only English translation. Some of those, such as using the word born again instead of conceived again, those kind of things. To put it very simply, these writers, and I looked at more, and I'm just going over the major ones that most people are familiar with. But to put it simply, these men weren't attempting to find the original context of what was written. They were accepting the things they had to work with. I understand that. I get that. They were also accepting popular beliefs at the time that they lived, right? You know, they were pretty much, to use this analogy, the Billy Graham of their day, kind of, right? They were telling the people who heard them or read their writings what those people wanted to hear. Although most of it was truth, some of it was less than accurate, right? Sometimes we look at something and we say, how can that be? So-and-so wrote this, so-and-so said that. Well, that's what leads to confusion. It's what leads to the problems that we have. It's what leads to bad theology, bad doctrine, bad traditions, and worse, improper worship practices. Now, I should probably say here, even what Grok might consider insignificant can lead to those traditions. It can lead to improper doctrine, can lead to poor worship, right? Not going to go down that road right now. I want to stay focused on what I found. I asked Grok to search through some modern writers. And I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to name names. But one very toothy-grinned, wealthy person who has written a lot of books, has a large following, has a couple of very large houses and an airplane, actually had the most contradictions, not only with the parameters that I had Grok set, but it also indicated that there were major contradictions in most or with most English biblical translations. Just put it that way. So then I bit the bullet, so to speak, and I said, Grok, I would like you to search through Tradition to Truth, God's Universe, God's Rules, and Inheriting Lies by Jerry Mitchell. I did not tell Grok who I was. And it may sound like I'm boasting. I'm not. I'll get to the reason for that in a moment. Grok found no contradictions among my books. And I'm not saying this to boast. I'm saying this to say that the hundreds of hours I spend researching these things, reading and reviewing the various papers that have been written and really reviewed by others without any kind of correction, the hours I spend contemplating, asking experts, seeking, you know, the people who understand the language, the archaeology, the groundwork, really, and I ask them questions. Hundreds and hundreds of hours, well, probably thousands of hours now over the last 20 years. Because I try to make absolutely certain that what I say or what I write is as close to the truth as humanly possible. Right? I want to make absolutely certain when I say something, when I write something, when you read something I read, that it aligns perfectly with the sacred word of our Creator. And thankfully, I found out I'm not the only one who does this. Okay? There is a very small and apparently exclusive club that none of us know that we're members of. Okay? Because I don't know. I haven't read anyone or heard of anyone saying this before. Because I asked Grok if there were any other modern writers who had no contradictions to the parameters we established. Grok identified four. David Stern, who wrote the Complete Jewish Bible, and I've read his commentaries, and they're very, very close to what I think they should say. I think there's a couple spots he could have worded it better. But I think Stern has no contradictions because he was simply attempting to translate into English a better translation. David Bivin and Roy Blizzard, who wrote Understanding the Difficult Words of Jesus, they had no contradictions. Brad Young, who wrote Jewish Theologian, had no contradictions to the parameters we established. And that was it. That was the only five people that Grok could find, myself and the other four, who tried to look at the Bible as close to the original as we are able to establish it. So finally, I asked Grok, is your analysis of the majority of all Christian writers that they have some contradiction to the original Bible as close as we can assume it to be? The result? By the exacting standard we set, 99.9% of everything published under the label Christian biblical teaching has contradictions. 99.9% of everything published under the label Christian biblical teaching has contradictions. That's a lot. That's a lot. Now, I understand that not everyone who has written about the Bible in the past had access to the information that we have today. We live in a world where we can use AI. We have the ability to read and translate and read the oldest manuscripts available. You know, that's something that Spurgeon and Darby and Scofield didn't have. But what they had, they still caused confusion with. So why does the 99.9% of all modern writers fail to make certain what they write is accurate. Why are there only five names among all of these books and all of these writings in all of the world? There are only five that have no contradictions as close as we can get to the original language and context. That result surprised even me. It stunned me. I kind of walked around in a daze for a period of time. I didn't believe what I was seeing. I didn't believe what these responses were. I didn't know what I would find when I went down this road. So does this mean that the majority of people are simply accepting partial truth? Maybe, maybe. But here's the question. Are you one of them? Or will you demand that what you read, what you hear, not just from people like me, will you demand from your pastor, your priest, your rabbi, that what you hear every week in no way contradicts the sacred word of our Creator? Are you willing to do that? Again, I'm not offering this to brag, but to let you know that there are at least a very few people out there like me who take the time, do the work that is absolutely necessary to make sure that what we put on paper, that what we say, that what we stand behind does not in any way contradict with the Bible in its original context. Now, there are people out there who teach. There are people out there who speak. Not all of them write books. Not all of them write papers. Not everybody makes videos. Some simply quietly do the research, and they teach in small fellowships. So here's my challenge. Find them. Find them. Are you willing to find them? I'll be grateful if you use mine, which, by the way, are available at authorjerrymitchell.com. Okay. I did not take the time to look up the others to offer them, but if you're interested enough to listen to me, chances are you're interested enough to search these people out and read their writings. I'll keep looking for others. I'll keep looking for others. Hopefully I'll find some. If I do, I will let you know. But they're few and far between, apparently. Apparently it's much easier and pays better to tell people what they want to hear instead of what our Creator wants them to hear. Something to think about until next time. And until next time, I do offer you many, many blessings, everyone.